Cheerio. As human beings, don't we enjoy enjoyment? This is Five Golden Things the Liberty Lists, a podcast of whimsy from Liberty Church Collingswood and libertycollingswood.org. We'll hear from friends as we explore everything from potent potables to morsel delectables, awkward laughables to moment teachables. You'll get lots of different categories, but remember that for each one, there can be only five. Plus a mulligan or two. Five, four, three, two, one.
Liftoff. Hello, everybody. We are coming at you with America and Pat. Pat, how are you?
Doing great. Ready to talk about America.
Yes. So we are two red-blooded American guys. And Pat, you had the idea, and I think it's a great one for this episode of Five Golden Things, to talk about some American institutions. And I think it's going to be an interesting list. This could be the most profound podcast we release ever, Pat, as we get to the heart and soul of this strange country of ours. So if go ahead.
Without a doubt, this is going to be a profound experience for everybody. I've spent, I would say, dozens of minutes researching and thinking through things.
Yeah. So if you're listening to this podcast about American institutions for history, this podcast is for you. If you are listening to it for cultural analysis, also for you. If you're listening to it for ethnographical or sociological or economic, if you want to take a Marxist, a Freudian approach, also good for this podcast. And really, this could be the podcast to end all podcasts right here.
Yeah, we're finishing off the series with this one right here.
So we're going to do top five American institutions. One orienting comment, and then Pat, we'll get right to it. My son Micah is a senior in high school, and he's going off to college next year. And there's some online thing where Collingswood high school students tell this platform or whatever, this is where I'm going to college and this is what I'm planning on studying, so that Collingswood high school or borough or whatever can like show, hey, here are graduates, this is where they're going to college. And Micah reached out to the person that's collecting all of the data, said the college that he's going to, and then his major was vetoed by the person, got back in touch with him and said, I don't think you're serious. Give us what you really want to study there. And the major that Micah wanted to have listed as his area of interest was Canadian studies.
I had no idea where that was going. I like how it ended.
Yeah. So point being, if this were a podcast about top five Canadian institutions, we'd end at two or three because there just aren't any. And instead,
that's your words, not mine.
we're going America. And I want to say that this episode is sponsored by the Canadian Tourists Board, and they really want you to go north. Special thanks also to Canada for just being a lovable punching bag, where they're the safe choice for national comedy at this point.
Yep, you can always go to them, and it's fine to alienate all of our Canadian listeners.
You know, this is, I was not expecting American institutions to take this Canadian jag, Pat, but we're able to track on our back end of our podcast things which countries people have listened to podcasts from. And I think we're maybe 20 or 30 countries total. Zero podcast listens ever from Canada for any Liberty Collingswood podcast. What do you think about that?
Yeah, so that's why we're going to Canada, is because they don't respect us. We don't respect them.
That's right. Okay. But enough about our friends to the north. Let's talk America, starting with your number five institution.
So that would be something that just recently passed, the Super Bowl.
Oh, tell me more. I've heard of that.
Yeah, you may be familiar. It's just this, I feel like almost every aspect of American culture kind of smashed into one, a gargantuan apocalypse of glitz and glamour and excess and stupidity and heroic action and just like almost everything you could think of. There's music, there's celebrity, there's sports, all like big things for America in general. It's expensive. It's can be riveting. It can be boring. It can be, off-putting to people. So I think it's like hat includes like the military with the flyovers. It's everything that you want to find in there for the most part. You can, whether or not it's a positive for society, is I think questionable. I certainly enjoy the entire spectacle of the Super Bowl. I love sports. So, in some ways, like the culmination of a sports year, arguably is the Super Bowl. It can be argued. So that's my, what do you think about the Super Bowl as an American institution or?
I think you're well timed, both as far as the Super Bowl having been played very recently, and then also arguably this has been the apotheosis of the Super Bowl between the Taylor Swift add-on. And wasn't the Super Bowl, the one in 2024 that was just played, the highest rated Super Bowl and TV thing ever in our country?
I believe so. I believe it jumped up like millions of viewers from like last year. Yes.
And this was the first Super Bowl in the Anger household where my daughters watched because of the Taylor Swift angle. And it really is everything all the time, all at once, just kind of packed into a few hours. And I don't think it can be topped, except by these other four things. So, Pat, very good Super
Exactly.
Bowl, only in America. And I'll say one other thing and then segue into my number four, Pat. The World Cup, one could say, is just as big as a Super Bowl, either for countries or around the world. Maybe I'm just speaking as a dumb American here, but the World Cup still feels different to me, and there's something that's more all-encompassing as far as popular culture in the Super Bowl than with the so the World Cup is about soccer slash football and nation. The Super Bowl is about everything. And so
Absolutely.
I'm willing to stand by that take. And when you watch a Super Bowl, you will see many, many commercials that relate to my number four. So Turtles, we're going back between Pat and me alternating road trips, uniquely American. And if we think in the history of movies, there's so many great road trip movies. And even if you, as you think about road trip movies, there isn't just one kind of road trip movie. So some road trip movies are dramas, others are tragedies, others are comedies, and everything in between. You don't have British rockers singing about cars in the same way as American rockers. Or if the British rockers are singing about cars, it's because they've listened to a ton of American artists. Again, not that America's necessarily unique or the best, but we do the best road trips. So the whole idea of getting in the car and going somewhere, for this to happen, you need abundant oil and gasoline. You need cars that are really big so you can pack a lot of stuff and people into them. And then you also need wide open spaces. And who has that if not we? So, Pat, what do you think about a good road trip?
They can't be rated high enough for me.
Okay.
There's nothing to me that's more satisfying than if you're on a road trip with you don't even have to be going to the right place, I would argue. I think the right people are important. I think
That's true.
without someone you want to like murder and they don't want to kill you back and forth is a good thing. But I think that what's nice about it is, or for me anyway, is like if you have, I think music is another thing that's like kind of needed. I've heard of people who drive for like long distances without listening to anything, and
Yeah,
I don't
those are
know.
serious serial killers.
So I think you can be on any highway, on any back road in the country, north, south, east, west, and if you have someone you want to be with, or you're by yourself and with some music, just seeing like the sights and something just satisfying about putting miles behind you. I absolutely love road trips. I would say it's probably heightened by also my fear of flying, that every time we hit turbulence, I don't listen to what anyone's ever said about turbulence is normal. Like, that's not normal to me. So I think also my love of road trips is probably heightened by my fear of flying. But yeah,
Pat
I'm really
Madden.
high. Exactly. I'm really high on road trips. I wonder if, like, road trips are, and I don't think there's any way to quantify this, if they're kind of more popular, less popular than they were maybe 20, 40, 60 years ago.
Small sample size on my part, at least anecdotally, my older kids have enjoyed road tripping just in high school and early college. So at least in my experience, the road trip. Now, to be fair, there are a lot of things that my kids do that I didn't do and vice versa, but road trip seems to be one of them. So the whole idea of piling into a car and driving to go visit a buddy somewhere, and I'll say things like Josiah or Micah, like that's 8 hours away. And they'll just say, it'll be fun. I'm going with a couple of friends and we'll figure out where we're going to sleep and we'll just keep driving, get some good music on, and that's the American, get some road food. Lovely.
You're good to go. Do you have one road trip that may stand out?
The irony in my case is that I'm married to somebody that hates automobiles and hates driving in all forms. So Pat, I'm just going to say a pass.
Okay, fair enough.
Do you have an all-time great road trip?
Yeah, it was pretty recent. In 2021, my
Oh, that's
friend was
right.
moving. Yeah,
Keep going.
from California to Brooklyn. Him and his wife, and their child flew from California to Brooklyn, but he took his SUV back from California, and two of us from the East Coast here flew out to California and then drove back from over the course of 5 days. So we really, like, put in some miles, and we really just ran it through really, really fast, and it was incredible. Up to Denver, from California, Denver was, you stop in national parks. It felt like you're on Mars driving through. Just, it looks like you're on a different planet. And then once you get to Denver, going through, like, the middle of the country, it's like, oh, okay, it's just plains and grass, and it gets really depressing and bleak. But yeah, it was incredible. It was a 5 day. We flew through. It was hot, like 95 degrees, but his old car made it and everything, so it was great. Yeah.
Love it. True American, as is the number three. Hit me.
Number three, I'm going to go UFOs. And so it's not something that's like the USA, like UFOs only landed in the USA or anything, but clearly it seems like in popular culture in the late 40s, early 50s, whether it was, like, Area 51, Roswell, Washington, these are where kind of like the F UFOs phenomenon kind of like flourished. And it kind of, like, there's so many 1950s science fiction novels, movies, even to, like, the 70s and 80s. It's such a big part of culture. Even now, I mean, even recently, all, like, the congressional hearings and, the sightings, it's, almost everyone has, like, some sort of UFO story, or really believes in this, like, flash of light they saw, or this thing that was zigging it out of, like, a government camera on, like, a commercial flight or something. So everybody has, like, their UFO kind of, like, story, and, whether or not they're real and all that type of thing. So I think it's just a fascinating part of American culture. Like, the weird, wild, thing you can't, like, grab onto in the USA. So what are your thoughts on UFOs?
They're private, number one. Number two, I agree. When we lived, my family in West Texas for a number of years, we were about 6 hours away from Roswell, New Mexico, the ground zero of UFOs, Area 51, and all that stuff. And we went there one time. It was awesome. So everywhere in town, there are. It's a little bit like the Super Bowl at a smaller scale, where it checks so many boxes, like you were saying. So there's a There's a fantastical element, a consumerist element, where there are so many gift shops, museums that are kind of gift shops and vice versa. The McDonald's in Roswell, New Mexico is alien themed. It's the most unique McDonald's that I've ever been in. And I think another leading edge of UFOs and aliens, and this has been studied, there's something unique about America and conspiracy theories. And
100%, and that could have easily been like a full category for this,
very true, actually. Right. And
sure.
so to me, as somebody that's never lived full time anywhere else, conspiracy, and I'm not myself a huge conspiracy theorist, but I take for granted that there will always be conspiracy theorists in my life, and not just the super weirdos. So continually, I'll be doing a happy hour, late night, or party, or family dinner when there's just a normal conversation, and somebody that I wouldn't have thought would be a conspiracy theorist would say, "Well, actually," and then we're in, and it's wonderful. But you don't have
Yes.
that in Canada or any other
Not at
country.
all.
It's
No, there's just a bunch of dopes who listen to everything their government says, right?
exactly. Now Pat Legal's getting nervous. I love
Kidding,
it. The
kidding, 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 kidding.
right. So check it checks all the boxes, and I think the UFOs live in an area that can never completely be proven or disproven, which is just delicious for its continuance forever. So until somebody super smart proves why UFOs did not, could not, and can never exist, or there's an alien that comes to the White House to prove for all time that all of this is real, we're just gonna live in this limbo of UFOs forever.
Okay, I have three quick follow-up questions, and they will be quick.
Shoot.
Do you think that aliens have ever landed, or any sort of like other form of life has ever landed on Earth or been in Earth's atmosphere?
I personally do not.
Would you want that, or would you like would that kind of like not freak out your whole worldview, but that would just turn like everything upside down to such a degree that your brain couldn't handle it? If like
I think it
something
would
were to
be,
happen and
well, I think it would be some interesting theological questions. So as a Christian pastor, I could anticipate putting on my thinking cap about. And there's plenty of Christian theology that's already engaged with multiversal theory and that sort of thing. So it's out there, and I'm not dogmatic about can never I'm not dogmatic on any of the spectrum theologically with any of that stuff, in part because I don't necessarily myself think that it's such a live concern that I'll have to, within the next 24 hours, get definitive answers on some of these things.
sure.
So I guess I haven't seen enough proof. And so turtledoves, fivegoldthingspod@gmail.com. If you want to persuade the pod to become UFO positive, you know the email address. What's your take on the same question?
I do not think that we've been visited by any sort of like alien life form.
Okay.
Could there be something out there? Like maybe. I don't really have a strong opinion also to that.
Yep.
I would not want to be like if I saw lights in the sky and and there was like ships that came by or like we saw something land that was definitive. I don't know if I would like that.
Yep.
It's like could go bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm kind of no and no for both of those questions.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it at a more serious level, and Pat, I'll give you my number two in just a second while I tell you more about UFOs, and then also think of a segue. Those are the two things gonna be doing my mind right now.
Okay.
Part of why I'm alien skeptical is, as people talk and think about aliens, depict aliens from their encounters, that it's the resemblance to human beings, both in our physical form and then also what those aliens tend to do, is eerily similar to our predilections and peccadilloes. So the fact that people that say they've seen aliens look a lot like pe these aliens look a lot like people, and that there's to me that's a little bit of a red flag where we've all we see all these aliens and they look a lot like us. Are we sure that we're not just projecting? And then also, and this is a little creepy, when I lived in West Texas, there were people that I knew that were total alien believers, and they would this is a family podcast, but
Oh boy.
they would pretty consistently tell me that alien abductions were sexual in nature, as just a fact of when you go through the dark web or whatever of alien encounters. And to me, that's just bogus, where these are just personal weird fantasies that so they look like us and do the exact things that would titillate human beings. Just seems highly unlikely to me, and therefore I'm not into it. But there you'll probably find some aliens of various kinds at our number two as we go through American institutions, Disney World. Now, there are Disney Worlds and Disneylands around the world, but we wouldn't be the first to observe, Pat, that even though there are Disneys around the world, those Disneys are exporting American culture. Even when they are indigenized in various ways and adapted, there's still something very American about Tokyo Disney and Paris Disney, no matter how much you rearrange things to fit local contexts. Disney World is, so you have the entertainment factor, you have the consumer factor, you have the sky's the, positively speaking again, if the US historically, according to our better angels and better aspects of our history, is the sky's the limit, place of wonder, anything can happen here, then Disney World captures a lot of those impulses. But then there's also something, one of my favorite SAT vocab words is, I don't even know how you say it, ersatz, ersatz, the ersatz, I don't know, the whole idea of something that's a close facsimile of something else, but then also clearly not the real thing. That's what Disney World is. So there's something American about, and we'll see if this happens or not, Pat, but the Emily and I are seeing if we could scrape together the cheese and the space and the plan to hit Germany this summer when our kids are doing the Collingswood High School exchange program there. And if we can swing it, we're hoping to see the original Cinderella castle that is a real place in Germany. But flip it around, isn't it funny that Walt Disney had the idea to replicate a German castle in the swamps of Florida, and we love it. And so you don't need to go around the world when you have Epcot Center and the Parade of Nations there or whatever. And then also, I think another loop for Americans is, and maybe this is true of everywhere, Disney World's an incredibly nostalgic place, and it plays upon and economizes it turns into financial stuff, our nostalgia. So I think one of the big draws for people my age that bring their kids to Disney World is because their parents brought them to Disney World. So there's nostalgia at that level. And then if the main area of, I think Magic Kingdom is still the Main Street USA, there is something about getting back to that primeval, pristine, Eden-like past while giving you a slice of what's going on around the world. And Walt Disney is still almost alive, but very frozen. There's also something very American ingenuity about that too. Pat, you and Brittany are in the Disney Club. You go every year, and
Right.
tell me more.
Yeah, well, so we're actually moderators of the Disney subreddit. So and they're getting ready for
Everybody hates
IPO.
you. You're
So.
doing a really bad job. That's one of the worst
Yeah.
subreddits out there. So
But their
contentious.
IPO is gonna hit, so we're gonna be making off like bandits here. So that's just lead off. interesting, just want to hop on the diversion of like the Eden and getting back to Eden seems like it's something that I feel is like as I get older, like a theme is like, can you get back to the time when life was carefree,
Right.
when it was more full of wonder and magic? Like, is it possible to like, to the extent that you've lost that, if a person has,
Yeah.
like, can you regain that, or is that just like a losing battle and you need
Right.
to kind of like turn your head like to another path entirely? So that's
Yeah.
interesting. Third, I guess I didn't have good parents. We never went to Disney
No.
World. That having six kids syndrome, I think, kind of priced it out for us.
I've heard
Funny
it.
story.
Well, I heard it's gotten cheaper over the
Yeah,
years.
that's right. That's
Go
right.
ahead.
Senior year, scheduled to go to Disney World class trip,
Yeah.
paid for, everything good to go, and then a big fight at school between two kids planned. After school, everybody goes down to the river for the big fight. And the big fight happens, and the priests at the Catholic prep school are not happy with that. And so senior trip is canceled
No way.
because of one fight. Yeah, a big, huge to do. And this is like a pretty fancy Catholic prep school. So of course you had the high roller parents saying, I'm gonna sue the school and blah blah blah.
Right. Yeah, there's a
We
lot
got
of
our
money involved.
money back and everything. So we did get the money back, but the dreams of one day going to Disney World were crushed, and here I am some 20 years later, still have never made it back there. I hope to take my kids someday soon.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think you get a more American institution than like Disney.
Right.
Walt Disney, both the good and bad, it's like perfect. It's like the consumerism, capitalism, just like wringing a dollar from every, poor soul who goes down there.
Yeah.
The expensive food, the expensive drinks, everything, all like the negatives, but then also, yeah, like the ingenuity, the wonder, the kind of like the old like World's Fair,
Right.
where kind of just, and like, yeah, that's funny, in Florida, in like a swamp, in the hot place in the world, kind of just create this fake nostalgia escapade. It really is like the kind of like perfect American institution, Disney, I think, for good and bad. Yeah,
Yeah.
it's a great one.
Pat, I hadn't heard that story from you about the fight and the senior trip being canceled. I little did I know that when we were talking about Disney World, that I would also be conversing with Pat Trauma.
Yeah, this has been it's rough.
That's the saddest, Pat. Well, Pat, bring us back on track with your number one.
Right, we're gonna go with number one. And like, is this the most American institution? I don't know, but it certainly seems like it's trending.
Yeah.
And like, the sky's the limit is the combination of gambling and casinos
Yep.
in America. Whether that's not only Las Vegas,
Yeah.
New Orleans, Atlantic City, like the casinos themselves, the hotels, and now, sports gambling, online
Yeah.
slots, all of that. And that kind of like ties into the kind of like, the old school, like the gold rush.
Yep.
Everybody wants to strike it rich, and the next time when they do it, it's going to work out for them. They just need one to get lucky one time, and it's going to turn all their fortunes around and reverse everything. And unlike most American institutions, which I think have mostly a positive and negative aspects, unless you really want to get into like nuts and bolts and like stimulating the economy, I
Yeah.
would say like casinos and gambling are generally like pretty harmful. I don't think they're going anywhere. I think it's just going to get a lot worse. To the extent that casinos and gambling preys upon, people's addictions.
Yeah, they're predatory.
Exactly. It can be kind of like fascinating. Like, I've gone to Atlantic City numerous times, and it can be fun and
Yeah.
intoxicating. But I don't know. Like, if they were outlawed or there's a prohibition on them, I think that would probably be be a fine thing for culture overall.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on all that?
I think that's really interesting. So let's just take a minute as we wrap up to interrogate that idea. So at one level, gambling and casinos are not unique to the US. I think, and I guess Europe is the other context that I'm most familiar with. So is it Dr. No, where James Bond is in a casino in the 1960s. So that Monte Carlo, the Rivieras. So you have casinos not just in the US, but at the same time, the there's something about, or there are two factors that strike me as casino plus these things make it uniquely American. One is mass commercialization. So if at least by reputation, and I've never been to Las Vegas nor Monte Carlo or any place like that. Those are places for high rollers, but the whole impulse of Las Vegas is that it's for everybody. And as early as the 90s, Vegas was marketing itself as a family town and not just a bachelor party or a swinger town. So trying to make it for everybody with it with the commercialization aspect. And then I think there's something too. Again, this is a for better or worse thing. Another word connected with Americanism, ubiquity. And so if something is uniquely American, it has a tendency to expand. And that's exactly what gambling is doing right now. It's something that's successful. Therefore, if it's successful at this size, there are people that are putting a lot of money in to make it successful at a bigger size and a bigger size and a bigger size and a bigger size. And yeah, so the I think it's not a coincidence that a lot of visions of dystopian science fiction futures in different ways have some type of gambling on steroids aspect to it. When you turn into the future, there are going to be a lot of people that are still gambling. And it's become the opposite of smoking, where if smoking has become used to be super cool, but now is considered a little déclassé or passé. Gambling, on the other hand, used to be something that was cloistered off, but now everybody's doing it. It's normal. And I literally never growing up, at least as far as I knew, was I watching a sporting event with other people in the room that had money connected to the game one way or another. Now it's common where I'll be watching a game when somebody or another has some weight or either has some wager and or is actively putting more bets on the game as it's going on. So that's just part of the entertainment experience in ways that I think are bizarre, but then also unique to us. And I'm sure that type of online sports betting is expanding around the world at an exponential rate. So I think that's true. That was, although gotta say, Pat, your number one was kind of a downer.
I know. I'm sorry to end that way. A couple of, family members have gone to jail for sports betting. That was in the 70s. I think they were running
Really?
something out of a basement or something. I found that out like a week ago. They're
Wow.
like, "Yeah, your family members." I was like, "Oh, okay, interesting. All
Huh.
right." So yeah, it's definitely in my family is like the gambling, mostly sports gambling.
Sports books.
Yeah, and like that could be fun if it's like low stakes. Putting a few dollars in a game that can
Sure.
be like fun. But then, you can see how people's lives have been, and it's not a new thing either.
Yeah.
Sure, dozens and hundreds of years, people have, tried to win money and lost it all or whatever. But yeah, and you're right. Like, that's not something only in America. Casinos, I think we have the most, but per capita, there are probably other countries that have, just like a small country with like 2 million people probably have like 90 casinos or something.
I've heard that Liechtenstein is just off the chain with casinos per capita
Sure, I'm
over
sure.
there. And so I've never, and this is not, I don't mean this to sound holier than thou. I've never myself placed a wager or a bet on any game, but I've mentioned to friends, maybe in sermons before, I'm not sure on a pod. In my 20s into my teens, 20s, 30s, I was a frequent wagerer with my friends about dumb stuff to the point where I was finally cut off by Emily because I kept losing money on dumb bets to friends of mine. When just over and over again, I was tying my wagering to confidence level, and that just seemed like a lost leader for me. So
Probably for most people, I would say.
I am not unique in that way. Well, Pat, I think we've solved it.
Yeah, I think we've kind of just brought everything in America in a nutshell to these five things. It's really all it consists of. Just boil it down to that, and we can move on.
Here's a bonus extra about American institutions, listicles.
Unfortunately, that's true.
So meta. I love it. Okay, Pat, we've done good work here. Ta-ta, turtledoves.
Wow. That was definitely a top five episode of Five Golden Things, The Liberty Lists. And remember, kids, Schadenfreude ain't just a river in Egypt. Wade in the water a little deeper anytime at libertycollingswood.org and find us at the usual socials. Make us a top five follow, and you'll always be our number one. Toodle pip.